book of Esther, in chapter number 5, and we'll pick up reading in verse number 9. And the Bible says this, "Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself, and when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared, but myself. And tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then said Zeresh his wife and all of his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made." The Lord being our helper, we'd like to bring our sermon this morning on this thought, the best laid plans. Best laid plans. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. And we thank you, God, once again for another opportunity to come here to the Hammond Whiting Care Center and to present this brief little church service with your folks here. And we thank you, Lord, for this time of worship that we're allowed in their home, Father. And we pray, Lord, that you give them an extra special blessing for that. And we do, Lord, ask once again for all the residents and the workers here for their health and well-being. We pray, Father, for any concerns that they may have, Lord, that you take care of them, that you ease their minds, Lord, that you cast out all fear. And we pray, Father, for your blessings upon each and every one here. And we do pray, Lord, especially that if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of their sins, that they would take advantage of the opportunity today to be saved, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow, let alone our next breath. Help us, Father, please. And I pray, Father, that you'd help me, Lord. Hide me behind the cross, Father. And help me, Father, to present the sermon, Lord, the way that you'd have me to. We thank you, God, for being so good to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. So the best laid plans is what we've titled this. And you know what they say is that if you ever want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans. And I think I've heard him chuckle a little bit this week. As from my own personal experience, we had a camp meeting going on a couple of counties away. It was my intention to go in there and spend it all week with them. I only got to go to the first night. Things kind of got sidetracked on me on Tuesday, and things just didn't go the way I wanted them to. And as it turns out, I've got some medical issues that I got to get taken care of this upcoming week, and we're trusting the Lord to take care of that. And then had the sermon all ready to go for this morning. I thought I was just going to go ahead and preach the sermon that I didn't get to preach last month, because the Lord had changed our heart about what to preach last month. And yesterday I figured, well, I better start going over my notes to make sure that I'm thinking what I should be thinking. And I could not find my notes. They are gone. Poof, in the wind. I don't know where they're at. I searched all my vehicles. I searched my study in the basement. I went through my Bible, I don't know how many times. My notes are just gone. And I just can't help but think that God had a little chuckle. Says, I told you not to preach that sermon last month. You were going to preach it today. And I'm stopping you yet again, because there's something else that I want you to preach. So I said, Lord, can't argue with you no more. Let's get to studying. So I started studying yesterday before I had to go to school for my daughter's awards ceremony, and came home and got more studying done. And, well, I think this is what the Lord would have us to bring today. Because no matter what kind of plans that we lay out, no matter how we figure that things are going to go in life, no matter how we sit here and we strive to do things our way, God's going to overrule. God has got everything under control. Now, it may seem like chaos and bad things happen to us, but that's because we live in a sin-fallen world. We have sinful human bodies, okay? Even after you are saved, you are still sinful. It's going to happen. The thing is to not go with the plans that this flesh wants to make, but to go with what God has got for us. And I want to look here this morning at a couple of people, and very specifically, the man named Haman and his wife Zeresh. Now, Haman, his name, now you got to remember, biblical times, your name meant everything about you. And Haman's name meant magnificent. He thought he was something else. He's a big man on campus. Zeresh, her name means gold. Both of these people thought that they were exactly what their name said. The problem is, church, when we get to thinking that we are more than what we really are, we are setting ourselves up for some trouble. Amen. The Bible tells us, in fact, over in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 22 and verse number 1, and I think this is a very helpful verse here, so I want to read this for you. Proverbs 22, verse number 1 says, "A good name or reputation is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." But a good reputation. May I say that Haman did not have a good reputation? If you remember in our previous chapters there in the book of Esther, that he does not like the Jews at all. He especially hates Mordecai. And it is his intention that he's going to sit here and destroy these people. He's already gone to the king and gotten permission to destroy the people. He's just waiting for the time to expire, and it's going to happen. Now, he can't stand the sight of Mordecai, no matter what blessings seem to be coming his way. They mean nothing to him so long as Mordecai the Jew is still alive. So he sits there and thinks, I've got to do something about it. His wife sits there and she says, I'm going to do everything I can to help my man, to back my man, and we're going to be good as gold through this. But may I say, the Bible says a good reputation is what we need to be looking for. Not silver and gold, not the magnificent things of this world, but the things of the Lord God Almighty. Amen. So let's look at Haman here real quick. Haman the Magnificent. May I say that he is a proud man. He's proud like a peacock. Verse number 11 says, "And Haman told them of the glory of his riches." That word glory means abundance. Praise God. He thinks he's got it made in the shade, drinking the pink lemonade, because he's got him a full bank account. He thinks because he's got all the nice shiny cars out there, or back in this day, he's got a stable full of animals to carry him and all that. He thinks because he's got on the finest of clothes, and he never has to wear the same suit twice. He gets on the suit, wears it, and throws it away when he's done with it. He thinks he's got it all there. He's got the abundance that this world has to offer. And he's proud of it. He's letting everybody know what he's got. I was reading in the comic section of the newspaper here the last couple of days. And there was this woman. And she's trying to figure out what dress she's going to wear. And her husband says, why don't you just wear that right there? It's a beautiful dress. She says, I can't wear this today because I wore it a couple of months ago. And you know how Facebook is. You know how Instagram is. If there's a picture of me in this dress out there on the internet, in my social network for everyone to see, and I wear it again, they're going to think less of me. And that's what she was worried about, what others think about her. May I say, we need not be concerned with what others think about us, but what the Lord Jesus Christ thinks about us. Amen? Because He is the one who loved us first, and He is the one who matters most of all. If everyone else is in agreement with Jesus, that's good, but praise God, what does Jesus think about us? But Haman, he's more worried about the glory and abundance of his riches. May I say, he also was bragging about his multitude of children. And it says here, the multitude of his children. When you turn over to the book of Esther, chapter number 10, I believe it's chapter number 8. But you get over there and you find out that he had his 10 sons. But his 10 sons were no better than him, because Haman ended up being executed a couple of days from where we're at here in the Bible. But also, his 10 sons ended up being hung on the exact same gallows that dear old dad built this day for Mordecai. We may have an abundance of children, but have we taught them about the Lord Jesus Christ? Have we taught them that Jesus is the one that can help us? I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that just a couple of years ago, my little girl sitting right there as a 5-year-old, she came and accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She's punched her ticket for heaven. And I'm thankful for the Lord for that right there. Why? Because the Lord allowed me and Mama to bring her into church. The Lord allowed us to have a good pastor who would preach what thus saith the Word of God. The Lord allowed her to have some good Sunday school teachers who would teach her about how much Jesus Christ loves her. And she says, I want that same love in my life. Church, are we getting a multitude of children, one to the Lord, or are we just having a multitude of children to brag about down here? I'd rather be able to have more people joining me in heaven than worrying about how many people I got as friends down here. And Haman says here that he is the magnificent. He's proud. He's proud because of his abundance of riches. He's proud because of his abundance of children. And he's proud because the king has been promoting him left and right. The verse goes on to say, And all the things wherein the king hath promoted him, and how he advanced him above all the princes and servants of the king. Haman comes out of nowhere in chapter number 3. He's right there on the scene. Where did he come from? We got no idea. It just all of a sudden he is the prime minister of Persia, second to the king only. Where did he come from? Well, we don't know, but we know here. Haman says the king personally had been promoting him all along. He thinks because he's rubbing elbows with the right guy that he's got it made, that he's going to do exactly what needs to be done. And I personally, I can't promise this, I got no Bible to back this up, but I personally believe that Haman had his eye on the throne. I believe Haman had every intention of one day he was going to be king himself. Somehow assassinate Ahasuerus or something, I don't know. But I think he was that high and lifted up in his heart that just like Satan is described over there in the book of Isaiah and again in the book of Ezekiel, that pride was there and that he was going to do things his way. Now my friends, let me ask you this. Don't we all know someone who likes to brag like this fella? I know I do. I know a few of them. Okay? But that's not the way we need to be. And I'll tell you another thing. Not only was Haman the Magnificent a proud man, but he was also a very pompous man. You see there in verse number 12 it says, And Haman said, Moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared, but myself. But me, yep, that's right. Only I got to go in today to see this banquet with the king. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say in verse number 12, And tomorrow am I invited unto her, also with the king. I like how he did that last part, also with the king. You know, like the king's an afterthought here. You know, like it was a personal invitation to Haman, and the king just happened to get thrown in on the deal. You know, she threw the king a bone in Haman's eyes there. It says, I get to go in, and so does the king there. His nose, my friends, is so high up, and if it starts to rain, he's going to drown. This is a fellow who's got his head up there in the clouds, which makes it all the more dangerous for him to drown. But that's not how we need to be, church. We need to stay down here on the ground where the Lord would have us to be. But may I say, not only was Haman the magnificent, proud man and a pompous man, but he was also a pouting man. In verse number 13, he says, Yet all this, everything he just listed in verse 11 and 12, from all the riches, all the children, all the promotions, the fact that he got to go into the banquet today and tomorrow he gets to go into the banquet and so does the king. It means nothing. It availeth me nothing. So long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. He's sitting there pouting. What we got, he says, is never going to be enough because of that problem. Because of that stumbling block. Because I'm not getting my way 100% of the time. And church, when we sit here and we start getting focused on what I need and what my wants are and my desires are instead of what the Lord would have for us, we're going to get in trouble and we're going to find ourselves and we're going to be pouting. And when you start pouting, you can't get anything done because you're too busy wiping the tears from your eyes and a snot from your nose because you're too focused on the wrong thing. And Haman, my friends, he's focused on the wrong thing. His plans were me, 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 and how far am I going to get advanced? Me, 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 and what can I possibly do here? And when things didn't go right, it's all about me, me, me. Oh, woe is me. I believe this guy here, that he had in mind that exact same theme song of hell, where that theme song is, I did it my way. And I think that's exactly what Haman's got going on here. He says, so long as I see Mordecai, when the enemy is all we can see, may I say this, we've already lost. Haman had already lost. He hadn't even realized it. He hadn't even realized just how far down he was going to go. Because all he could see was his enemy. And church, when all we see is our enemy and we don't see the size of our God, when we look at the giants in our lives and we forget to tell them that our God is so much bigger than that giant, we are in our own eyes as grasshoppers, as the Israelites were when they spied out the land and ended up spending 40 years in the wilderness because of it. But not only is there Haman, the magnificent, may I say, there is Zeresh, the mastermind. She, like I said, she's going to back her man. She's going to support her man. And thank God for a good woman who will support her man, who will support her husband through thick and through thin. It's a rare commodity these days, and it's getting rarer and rarer. Just like gold is rare, having a good woman like that is rare. And this woman thought that she's all it, and she's going to be exactly what he needs. So she says, you know what, Haman? I'm a plotter. I know exactly what you need, son, to get things straightened out. So verse number 14, she says, then said Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made. She was looking at the finish line. She hadn't even sat here and said, hey, you need to talk to the king about this and maybe take care of the problem right away. She said, no, let's just go ahead and skip to the end here because we know the king will just do anything you want. Go ahead and skip to the end and you just have these gallows built because we're going to do something with them. She's overconfident. She's overconfident the king's going to say yes. She's overconfident that things are going to go her way. And on top of this, this plotter, not only does she want some gallows made, but she wants it overdone. She says, let them be made 50 cubits high. A cubit is the span from your elbow to the tip of your middle finger. On an average, that's 18 inches. So asking for it to be 50 cubits high means that she's wanting gallows to be made about 75 feet tall. Now let's be honest here. 75 feet tall for some gallows, there's no way they're going to build that right away. It's too tall. And they've got to do, it's going to be very expensive because you've got to make it strong enough to be able to support the men who are going to be taking the victim up there, along with the needing to be able to support the victim's weight when he suddenly stops at the end of that rope. Generally what happens here is either they're over exaggerating when she says make it 50 feet, you know, 50 cubits tall, and she just wanted it built tall, or she's wanting Haman to build this gallows on top of another structure. Build it on top of another building, or build it on top of a hill so that everyone was able to look out and see. This is what happens when you mess with Haman the Magnificent. And may I say, church, that means one of two things. She's either wanting these gallows built on someone else's work, or she's wanting it built on God's work. Someone else's work is another building. God's work is a hill. May I say, God is not mocked. And while He will allow us to get some spankings, while He will allow us to go through trials and tribulations of our own making, if it does not fall within God's will, if it does not fall within God's plan, ain't gonna happen, church. There is nothing that can touch us that unless God gives permission for that to happen. So she's wanting this built. She's gonna get it built, but things ain't gonna go her way. May I say, then, after she's proposed making the gallows, this plotter, after she has proposed how tall it should be, this plotter says, now you go ask permission and have it your way. May I say, friends, God is not Burger King. You don't get to have it your way. I love me some Burger King, as I like my cheeseburgers plain. I'll be honest with you. Praise God for a delicious double cheeseburger plain. But God says, nope, if it ain't according to my plan, not gonna happen. You know, she reminds me here as she's talking to Haman. She reminds me of the serpent back there in the book of Genesis chapter number 3. And back there in Genesis chapter number 3. And we remember that this is back there where the serpent came to Eve and he started talking to her. And she ended up partaking of forbidden fruit. And let me read those scriptures here for you real quick. We'll read verse 4 to 6. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Serpent sounds awful like Zeresh, and Zeresh sounds an awful like that serpent. I'm telling you, this is how it's going to be, and this is exactly what we're going to do. In verse number 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. My soul. That's exactly what Haman ended up doing. Like I said, I believe firmly that Haman had his eyes there on the throne of Persia. And I think she had her eyes on that same throne. I think that she said, if Haman's king and I'm his wife, that makes me the future queen. I think that she was plotting. She was looking for herself something that much better than what she was supposed to have. But may I say, church, that while this world is plotting against us, while this world is scheming away, trying to see what it can do to us to destroy us, how it can hunt us down in the middle of the night, how it can hunt us down in the middle of the day and throw any stumbling blocks in front of us that it possibly can, that if we'll be like Mordecai, we'll be okay. You see, while Haman was the magnificent and Zeresh was the mastermind, may I say that Mordecai, he was the motionless. Yeah, motionless. You see, when you go back there to verse number 9, then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. Now he's high, living high off the hog right now. He just had that banquet there with the queen. He's been invited to go in with the king also tomorrow. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up, nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. See, Mordecai didn't stand up. Mordecai's job was to sit here at the king's gate, making sure no one got to go in that gate who had no business going in that gate. He was doing his duty. He was guarding the king, as it were. Haman comes by, and Mordecai, in his eyes, should have stood up and maybe saluted him or something. Mordecai just kept sitting right here. Says, all right, Buster, go on home. Whatever it is you got to do. I ain't moving for you. Church, are we moving for Satan when he comes growling at us? Are we moving when Satan comes and he starts throwing things our way? Oh no, I can't. I just can't. I can't. The enemy comes and starts challenging us like Haman was challenging Mordecai. We need to stand on what the Lord, Word of the Lord says. And I like what the Bible says over in James chapter number 4, verse 10. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Humble yourselves. Condition of the heart is what the word humble means. Where is our heart? What is the condition of our heart? Are we sitting here saying, Lord, have Thine own way? Just a closer walk with Thee. Lord, whatever it is You have for me, I am here. Are we being humble or are we being lifted up in pride? You know, Haman, Mordecai could easily jumped up and gotten Haman's face. All right, come on, you rascal, let's box. But no, Mordecai sat there and he says, whatever God's got in store, I'll go with God. May I say also here, not only should we be humble, but we need to be living by our faith. You see, if you're going to sit down there and be humble, you also need to be living by your faith. And the Bible tells us over in the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. In other words, it's all been out of shape. but the just shall live by his faith. The just, spiritually speaking, they're down here on their knees and they're crying out to holy and righteous God to help them. They're dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ to help. And this is the proper shape that we as Christians need to be in. I understand we can't all get down on our knees there, and that certainly didn't feel too good to me to get down on there physically, but spiritually, that's what the Lord would have us to do, to be down there on our knees. And it's hard living that way. I'm not going to sit here and deny that fact one bit. And yes, we need to practice what we preach, and it's hard to be able to do that at times. But church, that's what's needed. That's why we need to come together and support one another instead of constantly being attacking one another and saying one thing out of our mouth and then turn around saying something else out of our mouth. We need to keep walking the straight line the whole way so we can be a help to one another, whatever the situation is. Well, may I say also here, in closing, that Mordecai, the motionless, Bible says that he stood not up nor moved for him. That those four words, nor moved for him, that's basically what that means, is that he didn't sit there and shake. Oh, I'm so afraid of you, Haman. Oh, please don't hurt me, Haman. He wasn't cowering in fear that Haman was going to do something to him. That Haman was going to walk out there and backhand him or anything. Or that Haman was going to say, now's your day. You're going to be executed. He wasn't living in fear, church. What he was doing was he was leaning upon God. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter number 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord, have confidence in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So I ain't going to move for you, Haman, but I'm going to move for God. I'll do as the Lord would have me to do. I'll lean upon Him. I'll tell you what, church, if I didn't trust this wall to support me, I wouldn't lean upon it right now. As a matter of fact, even though my foot's not in the best of shape, I'm still standing on it right now because I do have some trust in it. But you know what we need to trust in even more is the Lord Jesus Christ. He can get the job done for us, but we've got to let Him do His work. And I know that's hard. I'm not denying it. And as humans, our first instinct is to run in terror. That's why the Bible compares us so much to sheep. Because sheep, whenever they get frightened just a little bit, they run in terror. But church, don't move for the enemy. It's hard, but don't move for the enemy. I got two questions, a statement for you this morning in closing. Number one is this. Are you making plans without God like Haman and Zeresh? Like they did? It's not a good thing to do that. Make those plans with God. Number two, how are you responding to your enemy when he comes a-calling, going, boo? Don't run in fear, church. And my statement is this. Humility, faith, and patience are some of the best tools that we can use, that God has supplied us with. But we've got to use them. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all You've done for us. And we do pray, Lord, for everyone here that they're able to get some little something out of the service. We do pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here who needs to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they would make today the day. We thank You, Lord, for each one of the residents that's here, Lord. And I ask, Father, that You give them an extra special blessing along with the workers here, Lord. And I thank You, Father, for them coming here today and being a part of this church service. Help them, Father, please. And for that dear lady that we were talking to in there in the hall earlier, Lord, whatever the situation is there, Father, Lord, I couldn't hear everything. She's speaking so softly, but we do pray, Father, Lord, that whatever it is, that You'd take care of it, that You'd calm her, Lord, and get those situations resolved, Father. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. So our closing song this morning will be this, I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I